Let us turn again to the part of God's Word that we read together, to Psalm 143, and let us read verse 10. Psalm 143 at verse 10, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. A Psalm of David, and it's a whole series of petitions going up to God. And David speaks of him here as my God. He was David's God. And therefore he could go to it with a sense of need. He could go to him and expect that God, his God, would be ready to answer his requests. And it would be good if that was true of us also, that we would feel free to go to God with all our needs, to ask him that he would supply all our needs. Our needs in connection with sin are coming short of God's glory, that he would forgive us, that he would conform us to his holiness. And that is very close to what we have as David's petition here. Teach me to do thy will. And there are three points I would like to focus on, as the Lord may help us. First, I want to say something about God's will. Second, we have here a prayer for teaching. We'll focus on that. And in the third place, that is David's acknowledgement of God, the true God, the one who is truly God. David's acknowledgement that this God is his. First, God's will. Second, David's prayer for teaching. And thirdly, David's acknowledgement of God as his. Well, first of all, God's will. What do we mean by that? What did David mean by that? What did the Holy Spirit mean by that in inspiring David to write as he did? Well, if we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 29, we find this at the end of the chapter. The secret things belong unto God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children. There are secret things, and there are things that have been revealed. And we can speak of both of these as God's will. The secret things are what God has not revealed. That's our, what's in our providence. What God has in his mind for each of us, according to his purpose. We don't know it. When am I going to die? What's going to happen to me in some unknown way tomorrow? God hasn't told us. that we ask these questions from ourselves. God hasn't told us. They're secret. They're things in his will, in his purpose. But he hasn't told us. On the other hand, there are things in his will that he has revealed. He has given us his commandments. He has told us how we should live. That's been revealed to us. That's no secret. He has told us, thou shalt have no other gods before me. We're not to make gods of our possessions, for instance. And in that sense, we can think of a god as what we most care for, what we are most devoted to, maybe our possessions, it may be our closest relations, it may be our nearest friends, and so on. We can make a god of just about anything, and we're not to have any other gods. There's one God. There's the God that reveals himself in the Bible. He tells us about himself, that he is all-powerful, that he knows everything, and that we are to obey him. And I could point to any number of other things. All of these things are revealed in the Bible. He has shown us his will. How are we to obey? How are we to live? Well, go to the Bible. Go to the Ten Commandments. Read the whole Bible. And you'll find out so much more. Yes. Paul speaks to the, or writes to the Ephesians, telling the believers in Ephesus to be obedient to their masters. There were some of them slaves. How were they to be obedient? How were they to interact with their masters? Master might be cruel. The master might be hard on them. But they're to obey him. Be obedient to them, he says. With fear and trembling. With a willingness to respect them. Even if they didn't really deserve respect. Still, that's the position they were in God's providence. They must try. And try in dependence upon God's help. You see, that's the way we should live, whatever our circumstances. None of us are slaves. If we work for someone or some organization, whatever it might be, then we get paid for it. These people in Ephesus wouldn't have got paid. They'd have got their food and clothing. And that was about it. They weren't free to go away wherever they wished. That was their situation. I'm not saying, and the Bible doesn't say that it was a justifiable way of operating on the part of those who owned slaves. It wasn't. But that was a situation they had come into. It was part of the Roman system, and they were to be content. Be content with such things as you have, we are told. Well, they were to be content with their situation. They might pray to God that he would cause that they would be set free, that they would be delivered from slavery. But until that might come around, they were to be content. Well, we are to be content. And what a blessing it is to know that God is ruling over everything. You can think of it in particular when one might suffer bereavement. We are to recognize that God was ruling when our loved one was taken away. And what a support it is to know that. But you see, the slaves were to act in singleness of heart as unto Christ, not as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And the will of God was that they would be obedient. You might say, could they not run away? Well, it might be more difficult than we might imagine, but it wasn't something that they were forbidden to pray about. Whatever their situation, and not knowing the will of God in relation to these things, we can pray. We're to bring everything before God in prayer. Every difficulty. We might be worrying about something. Well, we might be unable to do anything very significant about it. Might be a difficult situation. But we are to pray. We can bring our needs before God, every need. We're not to be praying for what is sinful, but you see, we can commit everything to God in this way. We were thinking of that this morning. If it be God's will, that's a qualification. We do not know what's in God's will for us. There are some things we know. We know that we will die. And if we are spared in this world, we will get older. The likelihood is that we will get frailer as the years go by. But whatever it is, we are to commit these things to God and the slaves. While their situation continued, they were to be obedient. As before God, as the servants of Christ, assuming they were the servants of Christ. That's the thing. And the people of God here, whatever their situation, they're to seek to keep God's commandments as the servants of Christ, as even the slaves of Christ. But it's a good place to be a slave of Christ. Might well not have been a good place to be as far as their feelings were concerned, to be the slaves of some man in Ephesus or whatever it might have been. Might not have been a good place. The slave owner might be hard-hearted, merciless, and so on. But you see, ultimately they were serving Christ if they were believers in him. And that was part of his will for them, that they would obey. And whatever difficulties we might have in this world, let us be obedient. Let us seek help from above so that we would be obedient to the will of God, to our duties to other people, to act as the servants of God, to act as the slaves of Christ, not as men pleasers. Well, we might want to please other people, but there's something higher than that, something better than that, to be the servants of Christ. That's the ultimate thing. How that works out in practice, we need quite a bit of thought and prayer. Let us not forget, as we go through this world, that we must pray, that we must commit every situation we are in to God Himself for the sake of Christ. Yes. And put it another way, that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. I'm quoting from Romans 12 just now. A living sacrifice, to present our bodies. In other words, to go before God for the sake of Christ, and committing everything we do, our hands, part of our bodies. What do we do with our hands? Our tongues, how do we speak? Our thinking, how do we think? Our legs, where do they take us? And in the light of all the teaching of God's law and all the examples that we have in the Bible about how godly people lived, to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Not a body that was to be burnt in a sacrificial fire. That wasn't the point. But as somebody bringing a sacrifice to the temple, say, was giving up that animal to God as a sacrifice, willing to part with it as part of the worship of God, so we are to give up our bodies. Yes, our souls, but that's not the point just now. Give it up to God as a willing, on our part, sacrifice. Giving up many a thing that we might want to do, but what's the will of God for us? The will of God is to live a holy life, commit ourselves to God, not to take possession of our own lives, so to speak, but to give everything up to the Lord, to submit to His commands, to submit to His will for us, to be content with such things as we have, to be content with such situations as we are in. Yes. His will is expressed in His providence as things turn out, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Yes, to give ourselves up to God as His providence works through our days in this world. That's a little about God's will. And remember, David's petition, teach me to do thy will. Teach me. That's what we come on to now. Yes. And a prominent idea there is what David expresses in this way in verse 8. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. You see, God has a will for us, and we should be asking the Lord that we would know what that way for us is, what our way is, what the way, his way, I should say. Well, in the first place, that will is expressed in the commandments. That's what he has revealed. And we should be asking that we would know. Now, there's many an injunction we might come to on our way through this world. Many an injunction. Do I go this way or do I go that way? Which is it? I'm not sure what my duty is, we might say. Which way will I turn? How will I know? Well, first of all, consult the Bible. Ask that the Lord, perhaps you have no opportunity to go and read the Bible at a particular time. You have to make a decision right away. You can't stand where you are. You've got to go on. But which way? Well, ask the Lord to show you which way to go. Now, what do I mean by that? That if it's a moral question, which is what I have in mind at the moment, if it's a moral question, that the Lord would bring to your mind some part of his word, some part of the Bible, that would tell you, or me, what is our duty. Do we do something? Or do we say no? Is there something that I have learned from the Bible that teaches me which way to go? Well, you can't think of anything. But don't just stand there. Ask God to bring something into your mind. Ask God to bring something into your mind that would tell you what is your duty. He is able to do that. But it might be a moral question. It might be just something of what you have to do. Well, again, ask the Lord to influence your mind in one direction or another. You do not know what is best. You do not know the secret will of God. But he is able to influence your thinking. And so you cry, cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Show me the way that I am to go. Direct me. Lead me on. And it might be in God's providence you can ask. Close up one particular way and open up another way. The Lord going before you, you see. You asking for God's direction. And one way is possible. And the other way is impossible. There should be a decision made for you. The Lord going before you in his providence. But whatever you do, pray about it. That's the thing. And can we apply that way of thinking to spiritual things? A sinner feeling something of his or her sin and asking the question that the jailer in Philippi asked, what must I do to be saved? He came to that question. He was awakened to a sense of his sin. He realizes that he must be delivered from his sin. that he must be delivered from the punishment due to him for his sin. There he has in his prison. They've been set free by the earthquake. He's got these two messengers of the true God. They know an answer. They know the answer. It has been revealed. They know God's will for this man who is asking, what must I do to be saved? So they tell him. They put it in their own words. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's the same answer today. Are we feeling our need of salvation? Are we saying before God, cause me to know the way wherein I should walk? How should I go? Where should I turn? I've got this sense of sin. I need to be delivered from my sin. I need to be saved. I need to be saved from the punishment of my sin in hell forever. Which way do I turn? Which way should I go? Go to Christ. Go before him and confess your sin. Go before God and confess your sin. Ask to be shown the way that you should go. For Jesus' sake. Yes, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who came into the world to save sinners. Remember that he is able to save to the uttermost all who come into God through him. He's the mediator, you see. He's the one who stands between sinners and God. He came into the world to save sinners. He took human nature. He, the eternal Son of God, took our nature that he might suffer and die in the place of sinners. Yes, he died. He rose again. He sits at the right hand of God, and we are to approach. We are to come to God through Christ as the mediator. Yes. And we may well say, cause me to know the way that I should walk. Cause me to know that way. That I would get a spiritual knowledge of that way. Cause me to know how I can put into practice the answer that Paul and Silas gave to the jailer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Well, let me just say, ask God for the sake of Christ to take you by the hand, as it were, and lead you on safely. And if you look to Christ, if you trust in him for the salvation of your soul, it's because the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is taking you by the hand and bringing you into the kingdom. Cause me to know the way wherein I should go. The Lord is able to do that. The Lord has been doing that since the beginning. Yes. And in Psalm 25, where we sang, there's this encouragement. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The Lord is good. Now, good there is kind. He is kind. You might say, is the Lord not good? Yes, he is upright. That's where that aspect of things comes in that verse. He's upright. He does what is right, perfectly so. But he is good. Good to sinners like us. And everyone here who has found Christ, they have had Christ come to them in his goodness. And he has shown them the way that they should walk in. He has brought them to himself. You could say, and according to the parables that he taught, teaching people in parables, making it easier for them to understand the truth, making it easier. Yes. He spoke of himself as the shepherd going out to find one lost sheep in the wilderness. That was good. That was his goodness. He came to the sheep. He lifted it up. He put it on his shoulder and carried it home. And the Lord is doing that time and again, even in our wicked generation. He has not stopped being good. He comes where sinners are. Yes, he may call them from afar, but he goes where they are. As he came where sinners were, while he was in this world, we read about Christ going where sinners were and eating with them. Why? It was so that he could find lost sinners, lost sheep, so that he could bring them home to himself, so that he could teach them the way wherein they should walk. You see, there's all that in it. And we should be praying for ourselves and for others, that the good shepherd would come where we are and pick us up and bring us home, where he is himself, that he would teach us the way that we should walk in, the way of salvation, the way of deliverance, the way to heaven, the narrow way that leads to everlasting life. That's it. God being good and upright. Now another thing we should be asking, you have it at the beginning of verse 11, and it's this, quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. And quicken just means make me alive, or give me more life, more spiritual life. Yes. By nature we are spiritually dead. That's the way we live, begin our lives in this world. But you see, we need to realize that we need spiritual life, so that we can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can turn from sin. Teach me the way that I should go. Put life in my soul so that I would go. How much we need to be made alive, spiritually alive. And it's the Holy Spirit that can do that, to make us spiritually alive. Otherwise, we will not come to Christ. Otherwise, we will stay away from him. But we need the good shepherd to come to us and put new life in our souls. Yes. And you see, these parables are all pictures, and they teach a variety of things at the same time. You can think of the sheep, the lost sheep. And what the sheep needs is to come to Christ. So Christ calls to the sheep. This is a different picture of things. Christ calls to the sheep. And the sheep might ask, what way will I take? I'm a lost sheep, the person might say. I've gone astray like a lost sheep, as you have in Psalm 119. I've gone astray. I want to come back. Well, how will the lost sheep come back? The lost sheep has never been this way before. But the Bible points us to the drawing power of God the Father and Christ's calling. God the Father drawing the sheep, making the sheep willing to come, giving the sheep strength to come, to turn away from sin and look to Christ, to trust in him as the Savior of lost sheep, the Savior of lost sinners. Cause me to know the way that I should go. And the Lord is able to teach sinners like us. And that should encourage us to be asking the Good Shepherd to take us in hand, to direct that call which comes in the scriptures and is repeated by the under-shepherds, as we might call them, the ministers of Jesus Christ, whom he has sent out to proclaim the gospel, the good news that there is salvation for sinners because of what he has done. Yes, when he says, come unto me and I will give you rest. That's what he's saying. You're to come to Christ. You're to believe in Christ. You're to trust in him. That's what we're being told. And may we be made obedient. May we experience that drawing power of God the Father that I was referring to. Yes. We're to remember what God is able to do. Now note David's earnestness in his petitions, and we can go back to verse 6 when he says, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee. There's earnestness there. And we could speak also of a sense of urgency. And that's what we should have. Earnestness and urgency. He is, he says, as a thirsty land. Yes. A thirsty land. I am as a thirsty land. I need thee. He's saying to God, have we come to that? To feel our desperate, urgent need of God to be near to us. Of God to come and work in our souls. Of God to come and subdue us to himself. We need all that. I could express it in other ways. But I don't need to go on. But let us go to it. Let us be urgent. Let us be earnest. Yes. We need to be turned from our own ways. We need to recognize the way to heaven. We need earnestly to express our sense of need before God. It's not something we should leave till tomorrow. Tomorrow might never come. As we were considering this morning, though I didn't use that expression, as far as we were concerned, of course. While we are here, spared in God's long-suffering, before our time runs out, and we may do that very quickly. Before our time runs out, we need to be coming boldly to God in prayer. Why boldly? Because he has made it so very evident that sinners are welcome. You may go to a house and you're not sure what kind of welcome you will get. You're hesitant. You might tell yourself, I better turn back and go away. But there's another house, and you know that the door is always open there with a warm welcome. So you can go boldly to that house. You can make your presence known at the door and wait for the door to be opened. You just have to wait for the warm welcome. Well, it's something like that. At least that's how it should be with us. In our need of salvation, we should go boldly. How many millions, I'm sure I can say, how many millions of people have come looking for salvation? Were any of them ever turned away? Well, that wouldn't be according to the Saviour's promise. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I will in no way, there's no possibility of a sinner coming to God. A sinner coming to God through Christ. There's no possibility of that sinner being turned away. And that sort of thing is revealed in the Scriptures. God's will as revealed. God's will to receive sinners. It has been revealed. God has made it known. Let us believe him. And let us go with proper boldness to the throne of grace. Let us go to God, in other words, in prayer, that we might obtain mercy. The great mercy of salvation and grace to help in time of need. It's not our whole life in this world. Is it not a time of need, a time of continuing need? Where can we get help? By going to the Lord in prayer. He hears sinners. He hears needy sinners. He is willing to supply our need. But let us remember, in all the things that we would bring before God in prayer, to come first, as the first thing in importance, let us come, let us seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let us seek the salvation of our souls. That's the most important thing. We can bring everything according to the will of God. He is free to give us what we ask. He is free to refuse it. And yet, how sure we should be that if we come in a right way before God for the salvation of our souls, he will not turn us away. He will not turn us away. And I was commenting on the earnestness of David as he expresses himself in verse 6. Let me repeat. I stretch forth my hands unto thee, unto God. My soul thirsteth after me, as a thirsty land, Selah. A pause for reflection. But he goes on, there's an urgency about it. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit, lest I be like someone who is lost forever, who is never received by God. But he goes where he will be heard. He stretches out his hands in earnestness. He is thirsting after these blessings. He doesn't want to go on without them. And it's God who is the one, the only one, who can supply these needs. And so he cries out to God to bless him, to supply all his needs according to his riches and glory. Christ is in glory, and he has great riches. And what's he doing with these riches? He is scattering them to needy sinners. A sinner here that is looking for salvation. A sinner over there. A sinner somewhere else. Right round the world. And the Lord is able to supply their need. He is able to supply their need of salvation. That's it. To supply their need of salvation. Our need of salvation. He is able to supply that. But let us go with urgency. Let us go even with, this is our prayer. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. If we can say that. If we can speak at all about thirsting for salvation. Having a deep sense of our need of salvation. Our need of being delivered from all the guilt that is ours. Yes. And we can listen to Paul praying for the believers in Colossae, that they might be filled with the knowledge of God's will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And particularly, let us think of this matter, to walk worthy of the Lord. How will a believer do so? It's walking in the commandments of God, by God's grace, having the commandments applied to the person's soul by the Holy Spirit, and being assured of the power of God to sustain, to keep that person from turning away from them. But the third thing, David's acknowledgement of God as his, for thou art my God. That's why he can ask to be taught, because God is able to teach. The Son of God, Christ Jesus, is able to teach. And he's the perfect teacher. He has power. You might think of a feeble teacher. He can make an impression on those who are listening to him. But you see, that's absolutely not how Christ is. He is able to bring truth. He is able to bring commandments to bear on the souls of those who are hearing or reading God's word. We need Christ. We need God. And God is able to save to the uttermost, all the way. Yes. See verse 8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. God is able to teach the sinner. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift my soul unto thee. Otherwise, I wouldn't. Otherwise I wouldn't walk in God's commandments. I must get a blessing. I must have the word come to me with power, the commandment. I need the saving power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we should say, among other things. Thou art my God, thou art able. God is able to save. Christ is able to save. That's what we have. It's for his sake and what he did in this world. And what he is doing now, making continual intercession before God. That's how a sinner can be saved. That's how you or I can be saved. Yes. Psalm 25 speaks about the meek. The meek, will he teach his way? And we can think of the meek just now as those who submit to God's teaching. They no longer trust in their own righteousness. But they recognize that God will teach them or can teach them his way. He can bring the truth to bear upon their souls. That's what we need. That's what we should be asking for. There are so many ways in which similar truths are expressed in this psalm. We could use it as the basis for our prayers for many a day. We'd never grow out of it. We would never come to the stage where we might say, I need something better. We might find something else suitable for us to use as words of prayer. That's a different thing. But while we are in this world, these petitions of Psalm 143, they need never grow stale. We need never think that we need something better. Yes. They are wonderful prayers. Let us be using them. Let us come before God asking for his blessing and asking that we might turn from our own ways or be turned from our own ways to serve the living God. Yes. We need the Lord's blessing. We need the Lord's power. We should be thankful that the Lord is ready to answer prayer. And so we should be using these prayers such as we have in our text. Teach me to do thy will. Thou art my God. And David is acknowledging surely that God has every right to tell him how to live. God has every right to tell him how to behave. And God has every right to tell us, to direct us, to teach us, and to expect us to obey. He has every right to set Jesus Christ before us as the one way of salvation and to expect us to come to him. Yes. The prophet Amos said to the people of his time, it is time to seek the Lord. They are suitable words for us in our generation. For many, it might be, this is what might be true. It is long past time to seek the Lord. But still, the Lord is long-suffering. He is still leaving us here in this world. He is still leaving us where the gospel is preached. He is still showing us the way in which we should go. But what we need is that these truths, the truths about the way in which we should go are still being presented to us. May the Lord make us willing to receive them. Give us grace to receive us, to receive them. And let us face up to the call that was presented to the jailer in Philippi. As I quoted that already, it comes to us here this evening. It comes to us with all the authority of Scripture. It comes to us with all the authority of God Himself. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. May the Lord bless our consideration of His word. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord. Give us thy blessing. Turn thou us unto thee, and we shall be turned. Work powerfully in our souls. Help us to be prey. Help us to be say. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk. Help us to add. May we have a right to add, for thou art my God. Bless us through this evening. Bless us through another week that has now begun. Bless us in view of eternity. Bless us in view of passing from this world at some stage. May we not be putting that away from us into some point in the indefinite future. But give us thy blessing. Pardon us all our sin. Make us pure and whole. Give us thy blessing. Bless what is said. May we try to think over it. And keep us from evil. Lead us in a right way. May we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ by thy grace and power. For Jesus' sake, amen.